Hello, and welcome to Gilead. I'm Rebecca Anderson, one of the pastors, and I'm so glad you found us. This spring, our theme is Info Dump, stories of what we just can't stop talking about. On April 30th, Stu P. Mary Taylor preached, so of course it was Our Flag Means Death, but also Jesus flipping tables in the temple. If you know, you know. This is Mary's final sermon as a student pastor here at Gilead, but only because now she's a SAB P. Sunday night, we blessed co-pastor Vince Amlin for his three-month sabbatical, a big night of big feels and a small piñata. Here's Mary.
Mary, in seventh grade choir, rolling my eyes heavily at the boys who are simply not taking choir seriously enough, like me. I'm a year and a half in on my realized big goal of obviously making it to Broadway. Did I know more than like three musicals? No, maybe, who's to say? Enter my choir teacher, trying her damnedest to get us to pay even a little bit of attention. She tells the class that there is this new movie musical coming out this weekend called Rent. Hope, indeed. I'd never heard of it before, but I wasn't about to let my fellow classmates know that I was a normie. So I, like a normal person, whispered to my neighbors, cannot wait to see that. I've been waiting for months to see this. Well, I can't just say that and not go to see it immediately. So after school, I shucked off my book bag, ran to my mom and said, Mom, there's a new movie musical coming out. We had to see it tonight. And so we did. People on screen angrily throwing trash out their windows, and this one girl who dances at this club wears really amazing clothes. And of course, I'm only inspired by her clothes and literally nothing else at all, obviously. And I ask my mom if that one person's a girl or a guy, and then I realize I don't actually care as my mom fumbles through trying to explain what she sees as a crossdresser. Listen, we don't have time to fuss with all of that right now. That's another sermon for another day. Anyway, you know, in movies where someone is seeing something and their face starts to just glow and their eyes get really big with wonder and the camera pans to them into a close-up and they look almost directly to the camera and go, I got it. Well, that was me. That was me sitting in the theater watching this brilliant, best musical ever, literally zero plot holes kind of movie. This is what I want to be doing, I thought. I didn't know how since I was just in seventh grade, but I knew that I wanted to be a part of that kind of vibe. So I did what every seventh grader would do. I made Rent and my obsession with it my entire personality from the time I was in seventh grade until I was a sophomore year in high school. In my free time, I'd watch the movie or the documentary that came with the DVD extras about the making of the movie. I'd look up articles about Rent. I'd listen to Jonathan Larson's entire discography, the whole nine yards. I've never really had an emo phase, but I was really good at cosplaying as an emo kid when I got my leather jacket because Roger from Rent had a leather jacket. And even after Rent, I had phases of obsessions, mainly actors that would last a few weeks, maybe a few months. And each time seeing something of theirs and being like, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. In comes March of last year. I'm pursuing acting while also getting this master's degree, and capitalism is crushing me. I've been annoyed with Hollywood and how they typecast instead of talent. And the phrase pursuing acting is rather a stretch since I hadn't really been active in the Chicago scene in a hot sec. And I'm at my parents' for spring break, and Andy, my brother, says, hey, I think that new Taika Waititi pirate show's out. We should watch it. And so we do. We watch Our Flag Means Death on HBO Max, not sponsored. And with each laugh out loud moment, followed by a genuine heartfelt scene, followed by a, wait, is that gay? Followed by a, oh, wait, this is gay. This is gay realization. I felt that moment again. The moment where the camera pans to me and my eyes sparkle with wonder and I look directly into the camera and just go, what? After watching the show countless times and watching every single interview with every single one of the actors, I am reinvigorated. The thing about it is that this diverse casting, but also like diverse in body type kind of thing, which is exciting and also the kind of art that pushes the needle. It pushes against Hollywood and advocates for all the shit that I care really a lot about. And it's actually doing the damn thing, you know, like the art that's saying something. And I want in on that. Okay, hear me out with this reading, okay? Because with Rent and Our Flag Means Death, it reads like everything before this has been trying to break through, but hasn't succeeded. But this is the thing, for me at least. Okay. And if we read Jesus flipping the tables at the temple, yes, stay with me, thank you. Flipping the tables at the temple and think about that from the perspective of onlookers, I think there would be people around being like, that's pretty cool. I want in on whatever that guy is doing. Jesus comes up and says that the real thing isn't about buying and selling. And then high priest comes, has the gold to say, hey, you can't do that. It says here in section 3, part B, don't you see? Wow, that rhymed. Iconic. See, I would imagine it would be incredibly clarifying seeing this whole thing. Living in this gig where buying and selling material things has been so normalized that you think that this must be it, I guess. That living by a certain set of rules that don't totally make sense, but hey, it's what we've always done. So like, whatever, not that anyone here can understand that. To then be rocked by this guy who comes in flipping tables and saying, what are you guys doing? Don't you see that this is not it? This is not the gig. Me and my radicalized ass would be very hyped as hell. Like, oh yes, that one, that over there, that thing, that gig, what that guy's doing. I wanna flip tables too. The thing I adore about Our Flag Means Death, and I can see the start of it in my Rent head era, is that it sees the rules Hollywood lays out for whatever reason and it flips it. And it says, no, actually a diverse cast with differing body types can be a great ensemble and can speak truth to power through storytelling and can say that queerness is beautiful. Critics might come in and say, hey, no, didn't you see in section 3, part B right here that you're not supposed to have fat people on screen without making them feel sad? That you can't have non-binary actors play a non-binary character and not have a 3-episode story arc? That can't happen. I would imagine that if a movie were made of one of the onlookers in the temple, it would go a little something like this. And yes, I am committing fully to this bit. The person wakes up from a dream where they were maybe a superhero or something, I don't know. But because they weren't introduced to the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet, it's just them being like, I don't know what they could do. Maybe grow hair really fast or something. I don't know, something superhuman like that. Anyway, they wake up and they drudge along to the temple because, well, there isn't anything else to do. A bit like when you grow up in a small town and the only thing to do when you're in high school is take your friends and go to Walmart and walk around, I guess. So the person's at the temple. And maybe they daydream about a reality where this isn't all life has to give. Then they get wrestled from their daydream by a commotion across the way. I hit the check mark and something awry happened. Almost there. Okay. And they get wrestled by commotion across the way as they see this dude who just is hooting and hollering about the temple not being for capitalistic gain. And they're expecting him to get kicked out. But no, this dude outsmarts the high priest by bringing logic. It's like if this daydream scene from Secret Life of Walter Mitty, but was like real, like Walter really had the guts to do all the things that he was wanting to do, but it actually like came to life. I'm just saying, if I were in the temple seeing Jesus flip tables and get in the chief priest's face saying, you really can't see the forest through the trees, can you? I imagine the camera panning over to my face. My eyes would widen with wonder, and it all clicks in, and I go, oh, I got it. And it's not dissimilar to how I felt when I first came to Gilead. I read the website first, and when I saw some of the stuff that we do here, I knew I needed in on it. I didn't know church could look like this, and I was hyped beyond belief at the prospect of it all. And I know we're getting to Vince's goodbye later, and I'm not going to steal your thunder, Rebecca, but I did just want to say that y'all have created quite a wonderful little thing here. And you deserve that sabbatical leave, of course, and to see as many woodcocks as your heart desires. That is the name of a bird. And isn't that the best name of a bird you've ever heard? My favorite bird. Because this is it. This is the point of it all. It's all right here. This is where the magic happens, team. That's the secret. That's the big thing. Seeing something and getting so inspired that you have to go, that's it. That's it. That's the thing. I want in on that.